Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast. If you're a new listener, we are heard on this station every day, Monday through Friday at the same time. And as I do from time to time, I always like to give a reminder, if you miss a broadcast or would like to rehear it, please do feel free to go to our website, Unveiled Christ, that's UNVEILAD, Christ.org, and you can click on the broadcast link, and they are archived there for a number of years. You can listen at your convenience. On yesterday's broadcast, I began a message entitled, Sir, I Have No Man, and we were looking at an account of one of the episodes in the ministry of Jesus, recording in the Gospel of John, the 5th chapter, and verses 5 through 8, in which it describes a man who, along with many other sick folk, were gathered at a pool called Bethesda, and Jesus was going by, and actually he was only, his heart, his mind was on one man, and he'd been sick for 38 years. He was sick, he was impotent, he couldn't walk, and he was very disappointed because every time he tried to get in the water, he had no one to help him. And as a result, whoever got in the waters first, they were healed because an angel was sent by the Lord. And when he stirred the waters, whoever stepped in first was healed. And so Jesus asked him, what do you want? That was his question. And he said, Sir, I don't have anybody help me in the water. And then Jesus gave a brief command. He said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. And I was making a comparison that in many places today, there are churches, they have a name of Christian over the door, but there's no power of God there. There's no moving of the Spirit of God. It's form, it's ritual, it's tradition. And to be honest, it's quite boring. That's why unprecedented numbers of people are leaving the church. Why? Because it's just a religious ritual. And in many places, there's not an excitement, there's not a vitality. And why? Because, you know, the letter, even though the Word of God is beautiful, unless it is quickened by the Holy Spirit, it becomes a pretty dull letter that does not give life. It doesn't generate hope. It doesn't speak to the needs of the people. And so many folks are gathered in a place just like these sick folks around the Pool of Bethesda. They're there for a spiritual reason. They want to have their needs met. But in many places, people walk away. They're just as sick. They're just as oppressed. And there are those well-meaning pastors and teachers that feel, well, yes, there were signs and wonders in the early church, but those have all passed away. We don't need them today because now we have the completed Word of God. Beloved, we need it more today than we ever have. Did you ever think and ask the Lord, why do we not in this country see miracles like the early church experienced? They preached the Word everywhere with signs and wonders following. That's what the Word says. Well, we do hear of miraculous events occurring overseas, but why? We have missionaries, we have apostles who are going to establish churches in the far reaches of an unflung, uncivilized areas, and they're risking life and limb. Like, remember James Elliot? He went down to somewhere in the Amazon. He was killed by the natives, and his wife, and other wives went to that region, and eventually revival came because it was built on the blood of their husbands. And so Yes, there have been miracles, but why? Because miracles follow those who have made Jesus not only Savior, but Lord of their lives. Those who have become disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, those who are as committed as the early church was to see the gospel preached, to reach out to those who were hurting, to allow the Lord to use them to lay hands on the sick, to minister in the name of Jesus. Remember, Peter and John going in the sixth hour, was it? They were going for prayer, and the man who was impotent, I mean, he said, he was begging. He said, silver and gold have I none. Peter says, but such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Why aren't we seeing that today? Because we've gotten very fat and comfortable. We're a lot like a church that is mentioned in the book of Revelations. Oh, we are rich. We are increased with goods. We don't have any need of anything. And the Lord's comment was, don't you know that you're wretched, miserable, weak, naked? And he has his advice. He says, I counsel of you to buy me eye salve. Anoint your eyes, your spiritual eyes, that you can really see where you're at. And beloved, we need people who are willing to deny themselves and take up their cross and follow him. We need people who will love Jesus more than anything, more than father, mother, sister, husband, children. In fact, Jesus, he made that rather striking and strong statement. He said, unless you hate all of those, and he was saying not that you hate them, but in comparison to the love that you have for God. It is through people, a remnant like that, that we're going to see God's mighty power administered, even in these modern, sophisticated times in which we are living. God has not changed. The church has changed. And we need, you and I, it starts with us. We can't point fingers anywhere else. We need to start in our own lives. Do you have the zeal of your first love? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to see Jesus glorified, to see him lifted up, to see the sick brought to wholeness, to see the unsaved brought into the family of God? Beloved, there is so much that needs yet to be done before Jesus comes. And we have to hear the word of the Lord speaking to our hearts today. It was when Jesus had that experience on the Mount of Transfiguration and his three disciples saw him. It was about a foretaste of the ministry that Jesus is doing even now for us. He is ever living, isn't that what the scriptures tell us, to make intercession for us. And when John beheld the unveiled Christ of Revelation, Jesus in all of his glory, he said that he was clothed with a garment down to the foot, a girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And that speaks of his eternal deity, the gold speaking of the very deity of his person, the Son of God, and yet the very Son of Man. And this same man, this man who met the impotent man at Bethesda, is now sitting at the right hand of his Father. He's making intercession for you, for me, for his church, for his bride. Hebrews 7:25 tells us that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And then in verse 14, as we look at that first chapter of the book of Revelation, we see that Jesus, his head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And in Daniel, the seventh chapter, verses 9 through 13, there's a similar description. And it says, the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. Who is the Ancient of Days? He is Jehovah of the Old Testament. He is the Father of Jesus Christ and our Father, the God of the Old Testament. Jesus was the only begotten Son of the Father. He became a man over 2,000 years ago. The Word made flesh and manifest among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verse 16, the word tells us, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Praise God. Micah, the 5th chapter, verse 2, tells us that his goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Revelation, that first chapter, describes Jesus in glorious words. His eyes were as a flame of fire. We see Jesus with eyes as a flame of fire, and they penetrate to the very deepest depths of the soul. There's nothing that hides from him, brother and sister. They can see everything in your life and mine. We cannot hide from his sight. He knows when our lamps are burning brightly, and he also knows when our love is growing cold. His feet are like unto fine brass, representing judgment. He will break in pieces every evil power in your behalf if you will believe him, and he will put his enemies under his feet and destroy every evil power, and death itself will be destroyed beneath his feet. Remember, he has the keys of death and of hell. He overcome the grave. What a marvelous, wonderful Lord we serve. Praise God. How exciting to be able to follow the man who calmed the Sea of Galilee, that same man, that same Jesus who spoke to the impotent man so long ago and said, "Be made whole, rise, take up thy bed and walk." And he's saying that to us today. If we will be willing to take him at his word, to say, "Lord, I take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Lord, I want you. I want to consecrate my life to you, give you everything that I have, to hold back nothing, that I might receive of your fullness, and that I might walk in that abundant life that you promised to your children." Lord, grant that to us in Jesus' name. Stir every heart that's listening. Let them reach out to you, Lord, and believe you for the impossible. You're the same God today, the same God who parted the Red Sea, who caused the waters of the Jordan to dry up, are the same powerful Lord that we serve today. Lord, I thank you for it. Well, my time has flown by, and with the Lord's help, we'll conclude this message tomorrow. And I thank you for joining me. I also now give you an invitation to write and share your prayer requests. Thank you so much, UCM Partners, for your faithfulness in giving, for your prayers that support me in the ministry that we can continue on as we have now for over 50 years. I love you. God bless you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, "May God's best forever be yours," is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.